Welcome to another episode where Food Safety Genie goes vocal for local. The prime motive for this season is to go vocal for local. This pandemic has put us all in an extremely challenging situation, a good way to learn and many ways to unlearn things we've been doing all these years. This has halted many businesses, especially the catering industry, where there is a reduced scope for dine-in until the pandemic completely recedes. Having said that, many have taken this as an opportunity to start their own business by curating their menu at home and selling via the delivery agents. In this series, we have collaborated with such people who adapted to the new normal and also provide visibility to small-scale business. Come, join in and listen to our guests speak about their journey and how optimistic they are about the future. In today's episode, we have Mr. Muhammad Ali, who is the director of the Food Consulate and founder of Sahib's Biryani, also the creator of the most popular Orkut or the Facebook page Chennai Food Guide. Food Consulate is an academy for students, professionals and entrepreneurs who wish to learn about the baking science and pastry arts. Sahib's Biryani operates as a cloud kitchen, typically delivering and allowing takeaways for biryanis in and around Chennai. It's my pleasure to have him as a part of the series, and we're going to be talking about his journey into this culinary world. So happy to have you as a part of this episode, sir. How have you been?
Hello, Ms. Sohitra. I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having in this show. A very interesting follow up regarding knowledge sharing series as far as food safety is concerned.
Thank you so much for being a part of the series, sir. So tell us about your journey.
Well, actually, I'm a business graduate. I studied overseas and joined our family business, which was actually in the food processing. So essentially, we used to export processed food outside the country. That was our family business, besides a lot of other business which we are part of. Subsequent to that, around 2005, I encountered a group in Orkut run by one Pradeep Raghunathan. It's called Chennai Food Guide. So he started, and we were a lot of people were basically passionately sharing about food and their experiences in and around Chennai and outside, a lot of other experience from outside Chennai. So very actively participating in a group. And sometime in 2008-2009, I migrated the group into Facebook. So since then, I think right now it's been 12 years of being in Facebook, and we are close to 120,000 people. People who are regular people just like you and me, people who are chefs, people who are food professionals, people who are, you know, very passionate about food. So they basically share about their experiences. We also have a lot of hotel operators and restaurateurs who also share their experience and their offerings. So it's a very active community. So that is how I started engaging more with people online, and also we've had a lot of physical meets for all these members over the years. They've been really, really helpful in me getting to know more about consumer behavior, getting to know more about what's actually happening in the Chennai food scene. I'm trying to benchmark that with what's happening in other cities and other parts of the world. So that is how, as far as Chennai Food Guide came across. Then over my time, we also understood there's a very huge gap in people learning, want to learn more stuff, specifically about baking and cooking. We're only talking about eating the food. But we also noticed that there's a huge gap that is opening up towards people wanting to learn to bake and learn to cook. So that is the time that what we decided to do is that at the time, a lot of restaurants helped us, and we had partnered with the restaurants, and during that lull time, that is before the service or after the service time, whenever there is a lull time, we what we did is that we hired the space, we took help of the chefs, and we also bought other experts from outside, and we started teaching in small batches in terms of baking and small other salad making workshops and barbecue workshops and all these kind of things. So when this was actually going on, then we realized that at one point in time, the demand was large enough that we couldn't actually just depend on the restaurants or the hotels alone. So that is the time that we decided to build an independent space. And 2015, we invested a sizable capital into setting up Food Consulate. So we set it up like a MasterChef kind of a kitchen. And now we're also in the process of setting up a culinary training studio. So it's a bakery and pastry training studio. So both the work is already done. We're just waiting for the pandemic to slow down so we can actually start the culinary training program, professional program. So over the past, I think, 4 or 5 years, we've trained more than 150, 200 professionals we have trained, and a lot of other, maybe 500 to 750 what do you call, enthusiast in the short term programs and so on and so forth. So that was the journey from when I came back to India, and then how Chennai Food Guide, I was part of Chennai Food Guide, and then we migrated to Facebook, and from there on to Food Consulate. And right now, we always, as my personal business, we've been dabbling about the biryani business for close to around 10 years and odd. We have got a sizable experience in terms of knowing more about this business. And since we are exporting food, so the food safety and other parameters were actually very normal to us. That people were wearing gloves, were wearing masks, were wearing headgear. The pandemic has given more the reason for me to be more convinced about the need and necessity to be transparent about preparing the food in a very, very safe and food secure manner. And that gave me a good reason for me to and be more vocal about what actually I'm doing in this particular business. That is Sides, which is a startup, which is closer on two months old. And the reception has been pretty good. One of the very few businesses that we have jump started during a pandemic time. And that has been the latest venture of us, Sides being a cloud kitchen.
And I also believe, as you rightly pointed, that food safety is also one of the US for any food business, because this pandemic has actually opened up a wide opportunity for every food safety professionals as well as the food business operators to show more importance on this particular department, especially the food safety measures and the hygiene practices. Yes.
Yes.
And I also read in one of the articles in The Hindu that your kitchen, especially the Sahib's Biryani kitchen, is something similar to an a theater where you see people wearing a complete PPE with masks and gloves where you cannot even recognize them. So tell us about that.
So right now, the cloud kitchen in which the food is actually coming from is actually an export-based factory where we also are supplying to other parts of India. So as part of so the entire facility is actually ISO 22000 certified, which encompasses HACCP as part of the FSMS. FSMS basically stands for Food Safety Management System, and HACCP basically stands for Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point. We are very, very specific about making sure that there's no hazard or no contamination of any kind of a foreign particle that is towards the safety of the food that is being prepared or that is going to be delivered. So with that in mind, so right from the way the entire place is actually sanitized and fumigation, they actually clear up the entire place. They have a lot of very strong pest control policies, and even the entry of the people, the attendants, is actually their health is regularly checked. Their daily temperatures are recorded. This goes to the QC for verification, and there is a periodical check of the doctors who are coming in. If they enter the facility, they have to sanitize themselves. They have to wear, then they have to go further inside the facility, which is, again, sometimes there is a sizable clean distance that they have to travel using social distance policy, which we have, further to which they wear the PPE, and then they get into the sterile kitchen for the food preparation. So it is actually a very, very painful process, which might look so from the other end, but in essence, it really, really helps us to make sure for us from a manufacturing end or from a food preparation end, gives us a great confidence saying that our food is actually relatively safe. And unlike other food preparations, our preparation again is actually a proprietary food preparation system where the food is actually locked in and cooked. So there's no exposure outside of the food that is being cooked. So the only person who's going to open the food is actually the end consumer. Therefore, we are able to preserve the entire safety of the food all the way till it reaches the customer. Even when the vehicle also, which is actually comes actually sterilized, all the people are taking the boxes and handing to the guests in the front, they are also wearing PPE. So we do the best that is possible and match to the international standards as far as this particular pandemic is concerned. Whether this pandemic is there or not, we want to have this kind of standard for ensuring safety of the food.
Have your own delivery system, or do you outsource it to the third-party delivery agent?
No, we don't believe in outsourcing third-party, because one and foremost, all our packing sizes are for, it serves guests of 5 people. So we are working on a smaller portion size, but that actually challenges the experience that the customer is getting. So unlike a lot of other preparation, our preparation is where the guests actually get to break the dum. Usually when biryani is made outside many places, it is actually made in large cauldron or anda, they call it, right?
Yeah,
and as per your requirement, it's broken to smaller portions, repacked. So that doesn't happen here at all with us. So what you get is actually customized for you, and that is what you actually receive, and that is, you are the one actually breaks it down. So that itself is a very, very specialized experience. And because of the nature of the size of the packaging that we are serving, it cannot be transported on a two-wheeler. So as of now, none of the delivery platforms are able to take the size of the box that we currently are serving as of now.
Okay.
So we are actually getting hiring cabs. We are sanitizing these cabs. We are putting up sanitized PPE material, and on top of that, we are keeping the material and with trained professionals who actually are checked for their health and for their safety, and also for the temperature and every other parameter that is possible. Those are the people wearing the gloves and headgear, and they come and deliver the food. So that is how, as far as the current delivery system is actually being implemented as far as it's concerned. And also, we also have a proprietary technology also that is part of it, which actually helps us to retain temperature to the safe serving point of 67 degrees to an extent of 3 to 4 hours actually. So okay. depending on how good that how or what kind of a room temperature they're actually keeping the box, they're able to maintain the temperature safe when it reaches, and it is very convincing for us as well as for the consumers in terms of consuming the food safely at this kind of a challenging time.
So when you were talking about maintaining by serving temperature, does that mean that you have worked upon the packaging? So while delivering, there is going to be a change in temperature. So how does it work?
So like I told you, the packaging material might look very, very simple. So we're very conscious about the environmental aspect of it. We tried using cardboard. The cardboard is actually a special ply cardboard. And paper by nature, as you know, as we learned in our early sciences, is a very poor conductor of electricity.
Yes.
So just like a pizza box manages to hold the retain the basic temperature of a pizza, but not indefinitely, it has its own time, right? Specifically with the cooking, proprietary cooking technology, we're able to actually have the serving vessel completely sealed, and that holds the temperature by itself naturally. Added to that of the our proprietary packing material, we're able to hold the temperature for this particular time, we're able to hold the temperature and serve the food hot. So end of the day, the food has to be hot, that is I think 60% of it. The next most, or rather the most basic form of it, is the food should be safe. So through this process and the standardization and the sterilization and, you know, so many other safety measures, we're able to preserve the safety of the food that is being delivered across to all our customers.
Listening to this, I believe that this is one of a kind experience that you are actually serving to the customers. Biryani recipes are complex and handed over by our ancestors for many generations. Is there a specific story to your biryani recipes as well? So how unique is your biryani from others?
Biryani is something that is brings universal love all across India.
Exactly.
But biryani has been biryani has made its own arduous journey right from you know, allegedly from Persia to, you know, the northern frontier, and from northern frontier into India, and with the transcendental movement of the Mughal down south, that is how they believe that actually biryani has come. I believe the variation of the biryani which I am serving is actually relatively new, probably around 50 to 60 years old. Would be the time frame in which our biryani would have actually evolved from what it was to what it is now. If you go further down south, you'll find people use a lot of basmati. Jeeraga samba, which is a different variation, native, and there's a native variation, and you know, the food and the experience making biryani, that is completely different. Whereas we draw a lot of similarities about you know, using basmati and cooking biryani in basmati, and making sure, you know, the meat is fresh as such, and the masala. It's a very, very, what do you call it, recently evolved hybrid recipe is what the Chennai people actually love. So when you say Chennai's wedding style dum biryani, in my opinion, I think that would be around maximum 75 to, you know, 50 years is how old that particular recipe would be. That. They say that, you know, the Hyderabadi version is close to around 300, 400 years old. A lot of stories around it, and they have a different method of preparation. In fact, there is a documentation of more than approximately, say, 100 odd variations of the Hyderabadi biryani alone, all to their own style of biryani. The Hyderabadis will say that they're the best, and we Tamil Nadu people will say that, you know, for Tamil Chennai style biryani.
Dindukal or Ambur biryani.
Ambur. So each to its own. So every biryani has made its own journey, and, you know, because I personally feel food is something that is actually very, very personal, right? So, and biryani is something you would usually eat it at a time of a celebration or at a time of festival. So, and you usually tend to eat with your friends and family. So that makes it very, very personal, and that makes it a very, very fond memory. The number of times you eat a particular biryani again and again reinforces the fact that how much you like that biryani or how much you believe about that biryani. Hundreds of different variations of biryani, they will say that is the best. I am serving something that is very, very special to Chennai, and that is the only thing that I am serving. Even though we are doing continuous research and development as a recipe and as a product, all these other biryanis, personally, I would say that Chennai is my personal favorite, but you might like something different, Pavitra, and you know, XYZ might like something else that is different.
So generally, the mention of biryani, as you rightly pointed, elicits happiness and anticipation in Chennai, except for an odd incident that happened last year when there was a suspicion about the meat used in one of the restaurant chains. This pandemic situation must have deepened the fear of suspicion. Can you elaborate on your meat procuring process?
Absolutely. I was born in a village called Petmanagaram near Thoothukudi. We, our parents and all are from very, very humble background. So the thing is that we actually learned to grow, learn to rather enjoy good food and things as such. So that being said, that there is a, so the name itself Sahib is actually basically a South Indian or a Tamil term for usually for the Muslim households that are actually based out of in and around our village and such. So generally, when they say Sahib's house, they usually mean the people of the Islamic faith and, their preparation of food and such. Some of them were actually such good food connoisseurs that by eating certain quality of lamb or meat or whatever, they can tell where the sheep is particularly grazed. That is the kind of experience they have in terms of the affection and bond they have for the particular kind of a food. So we are reflecting the same traditions and association that people have towards the environment in which they live, which they grow the cattle. So I have personally gone and seen where we are purchasing mutton, where how the sheep is actually kept. Is it a free-range kind of a sheep, or are they treating the animals right? Are they giving natural feed to this? So these are the things that we actually look upon, kind of animals that we are procuring for actually making a halal cut of these meat products which we're using in our products. So in that particular sense, the meat is bought every day fresh. Actually, we send our chef along the QC team to go and procure the meat every day. So this happens around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And that is another reason that we cannot operate this kind of operation as of yet 7 days a week. Of course, Sunday seems to be the most favorite biryani day for many of us. So currently, we are serving on a Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday is what we are serving till this. So in those days, our QC and our chef actually go and personally make sure that the cattle is chosen correctly, they are in the correct weight, and they are slaughtered in the correct halal method. And then they actually, the excess fat is trimmed and, removed. And the processing happens very quickly. So we also try to use a refrigerated vehicle to make sure that, they're not exposed to higher temperatures. And they bought very safely, and they are rinsed very thoroughly. And only then they bought in for further processing for the biryani. This is the methodology which we follow.
Are there any food safety incidents which has occurred?
Yes. So the thing is that part of our business, where currently the current cloud kitchen is actually operated, we actually make a lot of processed food outside the country. So during such one incident, there is actually an inspection that is happening, and with the food safety auditor was there, and the foreign buyers were there, and the inspection is going on. So as the inspection actually is going on, what had happened is that our metal detection system failed. So when they actually put, the guy put his writing, his pen inside the metal detector, and when he didn't detect it through. So as soon as we did it through, and I thought we will fail the inspection because the machine didn't work through. Whatever was our standard operating procedure at the time of an equipment failure is that was implemented, and with a lot of worry and concern, we came back to the safety meeting that was done, and that was never ever mentioned in the report. So I got very curious, and the curiosity got better of me, and towards the end, when all the formalities are completed and we secured the export order for a very large volume, I asked the safety inspector, I said that, sir, the metal detector didn't work, and how come you didn't make a serious, because that would become a serious NC. As a food safety auditor, you know what that is, right?
Yes.
NC is basically non-conformity.
So
then the guy just smiled and said that, yes, missions always fail. But the thing is that, what would you do if such a failure happened? That is more important than actually the mission failure. So what we did at the time is that as soon as the mission failed, we immediately halted the production. We did the quick recall of that particular segment because the mission was working earlier. So that particular process in which they immediately recalled the material, and all the backtracking was done for the particular process. So when you have very strong system and process in place, I think it really, really helps you, not only you, your customer, and everyone else in the entire value chain, it really, really helps.
Rightly said. So as you know, this particular series is all about going vocal for local. So what's your take on going vocal for local, and how do you think this can be achieved? So do you think there is enough support for small scale business?
So the thing is that right today we are in an unprecedented time where there is no proper point of reference for us to consider any kind of measure as far as whether the government is doing enough, whether the business that are employing us, are they doing enough? It all becomes a very huge question. So when it comes to each to their own selves, right, I think the answer lies with us living amongst ourselves. Do we need to make a living for us to continue to go to a better time? Yes. So what do we do about it? We got to be better in terms of what we do. We got to be supportive of the people around us, the environment around us, the family people around us, our friends around us. There's a very beautiful saying, they say charity begins at home, right?
Yeah.
So I think it actually begins with the thing that is of the closest proximity to us, that is actually local. So I think as long as we're able to take care of these things, be supportive of each other, and be patient and work diligently, I'm sure that as a community, we can actually overcome such a kind of a challenging time. Be kind to people and be as helpful as possible to people. I think that's the only way forward for all of us.
And also, I believe this is one of the reasons why you created a community for all the food lovers or food on top something, a page like food Chennai Food Guide.
Yes, I mean, we help out the individuals, we also help out entrepreneurs. So the thing is that usually in our Chennai Food Guide, we have a very strict policy as far as commercial promotion is concerned. Now, considering the current pandemic times, we've allowed small business owners, people operating from homes to advertise and market about their products every Tuesday and Friday. So this is giving a lot of traction for people who are having a good product at hand, and we're able to reach across to 120,000 people. So I think that is a great way for, so with that, we are able to, even for that matter, even size, right? We are able to have a good, solid traction when people are really understanding. So I've never, ever been actually so vocal about what goes behind Sahibs. Probably just the first podcast, actually, I've gone into great detail in terms of what we are actually doing. There's more.
And I'm so glad about it.
No worries. So we're also very, we are still working more in terms of how we can be responsible for the food which we make and serve across. So we are coming up with a new platform that helps people, when they order the food, they'll be able to track the information about when the order was received, when is it passed to the kitchen, who received the order, when was the time that the meat came in, what is the time that the rice came in, how it is actually cooked. So we're working on a platform like that that enables our all end users to track all this information. Not only then, it also really going to help us for us to, in terms of big data, in terms of understanding how fast we can actually process an order, how efficiently and effectively and safely we can actually process the order. So we are also working on such kind of a platform, which would be part of Sahib's core of operations. And I think that will help us also to grow in a large way.
I want to tell you that this has been one of the most inspiring series that I've episode that I've done, and it's been so wonderful to have you as a part of this episode. So before we end this, could you share your website for both the food consulate and Sahib's Biryani, their social handles, so that our listeners can follow and get more updates about them?
No worries at all. Thank you so much, Pavitra. I really appreciate the experience. Talking to you also has given more clarity in the things that I have to do, I have to follow. So I certainly will remind myself of the things that I need to catch up and follow and deliver across to all the people across. Our Training Institute website is basically www.foodconsulate.com, foodconsulate.com, foodconsulate.com. You can look us up in all the social media and look at us up as just as Food Consulate, FOOD CONSULATE. So that is what we are present as far as Food Consulate is concerned. Sahib's Biryani is a very, very small thing. We're yet to have a proper website, still running development stage. Still, you can look us at www.sahibsbiryani.com, or you can look at us up in the social handle Sahib's Biryani. We are there on Instagram, Facebook, and trying to get there. We are a very small startup, and our commitment, since all this work of food safety and everything is behind us, it is an expensive endeavor, and trying to make it more affordable in the days to come.
Thank you so much.
No worries at all, Pavitra. Thank you for having me again.
If you enjoyed this particular episode, please do rate, review, follow and subscribe on your preferred podcast channel, either via Apple, Google, Spotify, Listener, Breaker, Stitcher, etc. If you'd like to be notified about the upcoming episodes, please do subscribe to my website www.pavitrakrishnaprasad.com. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm Pavitra. I'm looking forward to talking to you soon. Until then, bye.